How about that anthem, huh? Gee, I don't know about you, but I just get a great big lump in my throat every time I hear it. Well, it's 7:05 in the a.m., and it's a wow 43 degrees on the old Camp North Star weather dial, and that is kind of nippy for a June 25, isn't it? Whew, I'm Trooper Harrison. I'm your head counselor. And this is my wake-up show. I'll be coming at you every morning about this time, hoping to make your summer camp experience the best available.
Yeah, 12:40 a.m. WSBC. Welcome back to another week of fun and shenanigans and stories of camp. That was Bill Murray at the top there. The opening scene of Meatballs.
Yeah.
My name is Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me as always is my twin brother,
What's
Billy.
What's up?
And our good friend, Clayton O'Brien.
Hello, boys.
Boys, welcome to the Hoolies Hoolie Radio Hour.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Everybody have a nice 4th of July. I'm getting very pumped.
Does everyone have all their fingers? Let's check.
Yeah, I got 10.
I got mine.
Billy?
Yeah, I got 10.
You got those long, disgusting fingers?
Yep, those long, disgusting fingers.
No, why are they disgusting? People used to say
they're actually very well-groomed.
They're piano-playing fingers, man. That's what people used to say. You got piano-playing fingers. I said, that's a nice way of saying that I look like a freak.
You got smoker's fingers.
Smoker's fingers. That's what old cowboys in the West used to say. The guys with, I don't know. He's either got piano fingers or smoker fingers. One
this
of
man
them.
Has
I could
smoker.
See his, I could see his finger on that gun trigger about a mile away.
You watch this guy. He's got smoker's fingers.
Yep.
I hope everybody had a good 4th of July.
I did. It was fantastic.
I did. I've been under the weather from the majority of the weekend.
That's right.
But I did make it out.
What was wrong?
I just, you know, I'm like a summer kind of flu.
Yeah.
Started getting headaches and then just getting a fever and then it would break and then it would come back and.
You shaved the Georgie.
Got rid of the Georgie, yeah. The Georgie.
Was that in like a feverish flu dream? You said, this is too hot. I got to take it off.
Somewhat like that. No. I woke up to, I think it was Monday night, yeah.
The Georgie is Bill's George Michael beard for our listeners,
okay,
if I need to explain it
again.
There's
plenty of people that have them, but...
Okay.
He was listening to, You're Never Gonna Dance.
Yeah.
While he took it off.
While he shaved it.
Yeah. And with a thermometer in his mouth.
Uh-huh. No, I woke up. I was going to go out and have a couple of beers. I was like, I'm feeling better. I think I can go out.
I think I can go out and get smashed tonight. Not sure about it, but I think I got the juice to go have about summer and camp and Cokes.
I grabbed the clippers to trim it up, and I think it had been like a week since I had trimmed it. And then
you said, I'm going bare.
I had the wrong guard on it again.
Ah, guard issues.
And I was like, well, now I gotta take it off. But it'll come back eventually.
You look 10 years younger.
You do.
Thank you. Yeah.
I played that bit at the top from Bill Murray in Meatballs.
Uh huh.
It's an Ivan Reitman film.
Yeah.
It's a favorite of mine.
Mine too.
Because I'll be driving Charlotte up to camp this weekend.
Oh, that's this weekend.
Camp,
okay.
Taking my daughter up to. Sleepover camp, as they call it.
You should rent like a 1981 like station wagon and take it up there.
That'd be great,
Everyone
right?
Everyone chugs Pepsi and just...
screams and yells at each other.
Yeah, his family fights for hours.
And you smoke, go, shut up!
Yeah.
We got Charlotte some clothes for camp, you know, some
sure.
summer camp gear. Mesh shorts, you know, t-shirts,
yeah.
things
yeah.
of that nature.
Yep.
The mesh shorts, I haven't had a pair of nice, like, good mesh shorts in a long time.
Yeah.
I lived in those in 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
Those are a hot nice. Commodity.
Right. Now, I was talking about mesh shorts, and then remember Umbros?
Yeah, those are nice.
Those
yeah.
were like the soccer shorts with the little diamond
gotta be a real,
in the corner.
But they didn't have pockets then.
They did, no.
You
they
had
didn't.
To like stash your cash in your sock or something. You know,
it had to be a real breezy day
for like
Umbros.
If you were a juvenile, if you were a juvenile delinquent, you had to make sure that those cigarettes that you stole from your mom were perfectly lined on the side of your legs so that when you rolled the sock up, the sock was tight enough that it would not break.
I worked with a guy at the Board of Trade, and this guy was like 50 plus. And he was probably, you know, 80 pounds overweight. And he would show up in Umbros, and he would sit down, and it'd be so tight. Like when he sat,
did he have his
board?
Did he have his keys and like $8 in cash in his sock?
Yeah, he'd show up, hey, what's up, guys? You know? He'd be like, oh my god, and then he'd be freaking out and be like, ah, and his everything would be bulging. It was disgusting.
I would love to see a businessman do that, like a guy at Gino Giorgetti's. Like he's got his leg up, he's wearing an Armani suit, you know, he's got his legs crossed, and the waiter comes by and he goes, oh, hold on,
He just goes into his sock and pulls out some crumpled $100 bills, and he goes, I got lunch today.
Pulls out a loose cigarette.
That'd be a great scene in a movie, like a funny comedy.
Yeah, because when we were kids, the sock wasn't like another pocket. Like, oh, put it in your sock. It'd be good. Hiding things in your sock.
I'll never forget. I got a haircut once.
Yeah, I never liked hiding in the sock.
We had, there was a guy on Lake Street.
That's the name of an album, Hiding in the Sock.
Yeah. Well, I'll never forget, like, you know, the hiding the money in the sock was a, you know, I'll never forget when I was a kid going to, I was going to get a haircut, and I was changing.
At Dino's?
I was changing the routine.
Oh, this was the best. I remember this.
Because I remember, I don't know if it was you or my good friend Sean Toon was like, just try him out. He's not bad. Frank the Barber on Lake Street.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
He was mean.
He was kind of mean. He wasn't.
No, he wasn't kind of mean. He was, yeah. He was mean.
So I walked in there.
He was.
Like, I think he had like a gang. He was in debt with the mob gambling or something.
But I walked in.
Yeah, right. Frank the Barber owns the outfit.
He was like,
the Giants lost today. You want a haircut? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He was like two blocks from the condo that my dad had bought in River Forest. Probably this had to have been like 90. 91 or 90. Yeah. And
what a great year.
And we were like. With basketball practice, so I was like, all right, I'm going to get a quick haircut before I go to practice.
Okay.
And
quick Ivy League is what it was
quick
called
Ivy
back
League,
then.
Yeah.
The Princeton haircut.
Yeah, and I walk in, and he cuts the hair. He gives me the haircut, you know, and I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. No, no. And I, you know, but, I couldn't find the money in my sack. I'm like, where is it? Where is it? You know? And he was like, well, you better go home and get it, you know? Like, giving me, you know.
Yeah, he was very upset.
And I was like, hey, man, I'm an 11-year-old kid. It's not like I'm trying to stiff you out of 20 bucks here. I'm going to come back with my mom or something within the next day and give you the money, you know? And he was, like, demanding that he get his dough that, you know, within the hour.
Yeah, because the bookie was going to be there.
Who knows? But I remember going home. I don't remember
going. You got that 20, Frank?
Yeah. I remember going home.
Frank the Barber just texted Bill and story.
And being like, hey, Mom, I can't find the 20. You got to give me like, so, you know, my mom was kind of unnerved and was like, you know, now I got to go to the gas station. She was like, can you just give this guy the 20 tomorrow on your way to school or something? You know, and I was like, so no, we had to go do that ordeal. And then I remember after practice getting home and taking my full sock off. And the 20 had, you know, because it gets sweaty and it slides and it sticks to your foot.
And you don't feel it.
You don't feel it. You don't even think it's there.
Yeah.
It was
don't put your money in your sack. Yeah. It'll stick to your ankle.
Did you give him the sweaty 20?
No. Actually, I saved it for the next time I went in there and was like, here's your old 20, jerk. No, I didn't do that. I just never returned there again. I was like, Dino Dini's my man. See ya, Frankie. Yeah.
Dino Dini, the almighty Dino Dini. Yeah. I remember... getting my haircut from Frank the Barber. He was always real nosy, right? What's your dad do for a living? Uh-huh. You know, ask you questions. And at a certain point, I think it was Joe Davis or somebody like that, one of our buddies growing up, he's like sitting in the chair and he just would make stuff up. He's like, my dad's a magician, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, you're kidding me. Your dad lives in River Forest. He's a magician. Yeah, that's right. Works with the circus.
Where, at DMGM Grand?
There's a picture in my parents' house of me getting like my first haircut at the Frank the Barber guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
He's giving the finger.
He's never smiled. He's never smiled in his whole life.
He's around, I'm sure.
Anyway, getting back to mesh shorts. This whole thing just spun off from mesh shorts.
Yeah. Right. So you gonna start wearing them again?
I might, but one of the things that occurred to me was that I was thinking about the old like eighth grade freshman year of high school kind of summer uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Pair of Umbros, maybe a pair of like Chuck Tees or something like that.
Jordans or pumps,
you know, depending on where you grew up, how much money mom and daddy had.
And a No Fear t-shirt.
No Fear, Big Johnson. Remember those?
Yeah,
Big
Johnson. Sure.
You know? Or like a Newport shirt or
Camel Joe,
Corona. Our parents.
Marlboro Racing.
Our parents. We're like cool with that. Like I wouldn't let my daughter, like my seventh grade daughter, walk around in a Marlboro t-shirt today, right?
Oh, well, who cares?
Depending on the demographic of where you grew up, but yeah. I'd go, nah. Why don't you put the Big Johnson shirt on?
I'd be telling you what, there were lots of Marlboro t-shirts worn yesterday on the 4th of July. I'm sure
there was a lot of Marlboros being smoked too.
A lot of fireworks being lit with Marlboros.
Yeah, probably. It was.
Like, you got a light? Yeah, hold on. Yeah, right here. Use my cherry.
On Friday, I went to Wisconsin with my family, so we went to a lake house.
Yeah.
And I had to sleep on like a screened-in porch, right?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys are lighting off like the flash bombs that are just like, it's like thunder. It's like a nuclear bomb. Uh-huh. And I'm in this little screen like porch, and there's bugs everywhere, and I'm like, If I just hear like a Vietnamese guy talk, I'm like, I'm gonna feel like I'm in Nam right now.
Right. Yeah. It's Tom crazy. Berenger jumped out and said, "I can't come out, you say."
Threw a fistful of rice at me.
Right. Ah! Lieutenant Barnes, what are you doing here? Talk about killing.
But I actually had this little TV, like an old box TV with the built-in VCR.
Oh, nice.
The screen was like 6 inches tall. Yeah. And I got one of the only channels I got was that Pacquiao fight.
Oh, perfect. That's all you fight. Needed.
It was crazy. I watched the whole thing from start to finish. And I was so just like, this is nuts.
We Jeff can get Horn.
Into that. Yeah. Well, you know, we can get into that. But, well, no, not yet. I want to talk about that because it puts a lot on the McGregor fight.
It does.
And I think so.
I mean, it's almost like, were they planning this? Was this... Boxing has been so dirty.
Do you
for
think
so
that
many
it
years.
Was a bad call?
Yeah. I think Pacquiao won the fight.
Absolutely. I think he won the fight eight
you
rounds
know what?
To four.
They re-ran it, and I watched it again, and I'm watching it.
It's
like,
a good
the
fight.
The first five rounds, I'm like, this dude kind of won the first, like, three rounds.
You know,
first
I talked
three.
To him, I talked to another guy, yeah, like, other than you guys, who was like, I thought he won the
Here's
first
why
three.
Like, Here's why they gave it to Horn. Pacquiao had the chance to put him away, and he didn't.
In the ninth round.
And Horn came back out, and the announcer said, you got to show me something. Horn came out and won the last two rounds.
It's tough.
I don't know if you're
going to
give him the last two.
I give him both rounds, 10-9. Give him both rounds.
I think at the very least it's a draw. I don't think that dude won. I don't think that Horn guy won at
all. I think Pacquiao won that fight. I think it was...
I don't think it's getting any coverage either. Like, no one's really talking about it. Everyone's like, what's going on with...
Kardashian in China.
Right. Exactly. Here's the thing when you think about that.
North
fight,
Korea
though.
Firing missiles off, right?
Yeah.
No one's talking about that. Everyone's talking about Rob Kardashian today.
Why? What's going on with him? I could care
less.
I don't
know. You know, he's
Don't give any airtime to that.
Any publicity to that?
I'm not going to.
Let's talk about Korea and strategy.
All right, Lieutenant Barnes, you go first.
No, the thing about that fight is that now it puts emphasis on the sport of boxing even more. And thinking, is this a dirty the way that it's run, the promotion angle of it?
No, it does.
Is the sport not getting enough respect from the people that are judging this? Now there was a situation. Now,
I think that decision damages boxing.
Well, you know, we just saw a fight. Like, you know, it's funny because I want to congratulate Mick Conlon, mm-hmm. who obviously was on this show a little over a month ago.
And fought right before that.
He fought on the undercard before that fight. And
yeah, it's a top-ranked fight in Australia.
Yeah, he was victorious, so congratulations to Mick Conlon and the McConlon camp. He's now 3-0 as a professional.
Work, nice work.
But, you know, coming from his background about what happened to him in the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
and then looking at, I wonder what was running through his mind watching that happen on a professional level. Because his whole meaning was, when he was jumping into professional boxing, he was like, I want to be away from this amateur, you know. And, you know, the way that the judges were controlled. And then it makes you think, okay, we're in Australia. This Australian just wins. Is this rigged?
But it's going to make him work harder. Because then he's got to be really sure putting people away.
I would hope so as far as the Conlon camp goes.
There's no decision.
Well, this Horn guy, you know, I mean, he was gracious, and he's like, I'm going to give Pacquiao a rematch. But Pacquiao's 37 years old.
Right. And that also plays into the Mayweather thing, because Mayweather's older now. And it does bring into this, like, thought that anything can happen with this fight now.
Listen, I'm telling you, they could get three fights out of this. Horn and Pacquiao. I bet you Pacquiao's happy. He's like, good, I get to fight Horn. I'll beat him the second time. And then I'll take
that
a year off. We'll get
tough,
paid
man.
Again.
He's tough.
Yeah, he is.
He was, but here's the thing. People.
I love when you see guys and you're like, wow, they're tough. And then they talk. Mm-hmm. He's like, that was very great fight.
I'm a former school teacher. Yeah.
Like Beckham, like when he talks.
You're
like,
wow, well, you know, it was like respectful what he said, though.
You know what the
he said this was for all the bullies. When I was a teacher and I would watch what bullies and how bullying would go down in schools, he goes, it was one of the things that when I got into the sport of boxing and inspired me. To think that one day I want to win a big prize fight and win it for the kids who get bullied.
That's great.
And to set an example for them that any Joe Schmo, like he thought he was just a school teacher in Australia, he didn't pick up boxing until he was 18 years old. That's late in the game for a guy like him.
Very late.
Yeah.
So
you know what the secret to maybe Mr. Horn's success is?
What?
Oatmeal.
Yeah.
Tons of it.
As a child in Brisbane,
he was
pounding McCann's Irish oatmeal.
Mom, another oatmeal, please.
Yeah.
And he said, the bullies will never get me, and I'm going to win a prize fight someday, but I got to have my cinnamon Irish oatmeal. A leprechaun told him.
Yeah.
He said, you may be Australian, but here's the deal. McCann's is the best oatmeal you ever have. If you ever want to have a prize fight, you sit down and chug this McCann's stuff. Rub it on your pectorals.
I'll get you out of teaching.
Rub it on your gloves.
Yeah. This show is sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. The Hooli's Hooli will return after this.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Have you been worrying about your mom and dad as they get older? Wish they could sell the house and move where life's a whole lot easier? Smith Village, located in the Beverly neighborhood, is a life plan community that's backed by the strength and experience of Smith Senior Living. Smith Village offers a full continuum of care. Your folks are entering a unique and special phase of life, shifting from worrying about their to-do list to exploring all the things on their love to-do list. They're expanding their interests, learning new ways to relax, and making new discoveries. And while they're exploring their passions, Mom and Dad will appreciate the convenience of having dining, housekeeping, utilities, maintenance, social events, fitness classes, and wellness programming all covered by one monthly charge. For a limited time, take advantage of our three-month trial stay program to experience life at Smith Village without the risk of an entrance fee. Ask about our new trial stay program by calling 773-614-6836. 773-614-6836, or visit the website at smithvillage.org.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Juries won million-dollar verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years, and they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
That's right. Tell Tom Gorman your story. He's a good guy. Welcome back. 1240 AM. Hoolies, hoolie. We're back.
That's correct.
We're talking a little bit about Manny Pacquiao.
A little fight talk.
A little fight talk.
Well, I mean,
is that Mike Nort?
Hey, welcome to Fight Talk.
It's such a great fight. I mean, it was one of the better boxing fight exhibitions I had seen in quite a while.
I walked into the Goldie Burger in Forest Park.
Fine establishment.
It was nice and empty.
Nice.
Not crowded. I was looking for that.
Did you get the fight on with the volume and everything?
I don't have ESPN at home. So I had to go out and like, how fun is that to like give yourself an excuse to your wife? It's like, honey, I gotta go to the bar. I gotta watch this fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. She's like, okay, fine. Went over there, had a pop. Convinced like Mike Sullivan, the proprietor, he didn't even know what was going on. He's like, what? He's like, it's a title fight. I go, yeah. He goes, okay. We turned it on. We went in the beer garden, turned it on the big projection TV.
Nice.
And sat there and watched every round. And Mike Sullivan's like, this is a war. A war.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, this is the best boxing fight I've seen in a decade on TV. Because it exposed so many people to the sport again. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was really well done by Bob Arum.
It was Pacquiao's idea.
It was smart to put on ESPN. That was smart.
That was all
they're
Pacquiao.
I believe there's three more bouts coming up on ESPN.
I mean, boxing needs that. Otherwise, they are done, regardless of what happens with Floyd Mayweather.
If the Mayweather-McGregor thing turns out to be a total joke, then they're really in trouble.
What if McGregor goes in and pummels him?
Exactly.
What if it's just like a total circus and it's just totally like not a good fight and it's people are booing and it's awful, you know?
Well, it's guaranteed to be a little bit of that anyway.
No, it's going to be great.
they're going to dance around each other for a couple rounds to make sure that everyone gets their money.
You know, here's the thing, though. I don't think that a lot, you know, when you watch the beginning of that Pacquiao Horn fight, you know, Teddy Atlas?
Yeah.
Teddy Atlas was sitting there, and he was saying, you know, they didn't expect Horn to come out on the offensive the way that he did. I mean, he turned it into a slugfest right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He had to.
And
he's like, this is my only
question. And the one thing he said,
everybody said, they're like, you got to knock him out.
The one thing he said about a champion fighter who gets older in age is that, you know, they don't like it. You know, Pacquiao hasn't had a knockout in what, like the last 5 or 6 fights he's done?
In like 8 years.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
So I think what they were saying was is that, you know, you can hit a guy like that, but if you get him early. And get him early and make him think that there's a possibility he could get hurt mentally, that's when you can take over the fight. So when you're thinking about a situation where McGregor and Mayweather, McGregor's got to come out guns a-blazing
right
off the bat. He's got to at least hurt McGregor or cut him.
Hurt Mayweather.
Because Horn did cut Manny in the first 3 rounds. I don't know if he caught him with a headbutt or whatever, but the psyche of him knowing that he was hurt already and cut...
Yeah.
Made him feel like he was vulnerable to getting knocked out.
Totally.
So even though Manny, I still think, won the fight, the similar situation, I think, probably would have to happen.
You bring up
McGregor
a good
fight.
Point. Horn was headbutting that whole fight, man. There were some
That's
it happens.
I
know. It happens.
That's
I
not
mean,
on purpose.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. Hey, what is it, August 24th? Is that when this
fight
is?
Got, like, their first press conference coming up in, like, 2 weeks. They're doing it at Wembley Stadium.
I have to admit, after watching that fight this past week, am very excited now to think about this Mayweather fight.
It's going
to
be nuts.
Yeah.
Who knows? If something insane happens and McGregor wins or something, this could be like, what if boxing really wants McGregor to win and they're just not saying it, right? They're all saying it like right now, like, oh, it'd be terrible for the sport. All of a sudden, McGregor wins and
what if he wins?
Bob Arum's like, McGregor's fighting Horn.
No, wow. Yeah, you know, like Ireland versus Australia.
McGregor Pacquiao. Maybe, I mean, what? Why not? Who
why
cares?
Not? Yeah, at a certain
point. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Maybe they should just. How about a 3-point contest between McGregor and Pacquiao?
Craig Hodges and McGregor.
Craig Hodges, McGregor, and Pacquiao in a 3-point contest.
And Richard Lewis.
And, yeah, right. Don't pass me the ball.
Hey, I got to stretch. You know,
I like shooting sometimes.
I got to stretch and have a boku.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stretch my elbows.
Yeah.
There's a new league out, isn't there? Like a pro league. I don't know. There's a famous hip-hop artist maybe behind it.
That is not a league.
What is it? What are you talking about?
It's like
about?
A 3-on-3 for like retired NBA players.
Yeah, that's Ice Cube. Yeah.
That darn Ice Cube, his name escapes me every time I think of something.
Yeah, it's the old Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm. I saw a picture of Ice Cube.
I have a picture of me and Ice Cube.
I've seen that.
That's right.
And Adam Miller from O'Hare Airport at about 5 o'clock in the morning.
What's Ice Cube's real name? O'Shea Jackson?
No idea.
I think it is O'Shea Jackson, yes.
Ice Cube. I saw a picture of him recently. Some guy had a t-shirt walking down the street in the Loop.
Uh-huh.
It's a picture of iced tea. Like, so it's a mug.
Uh-huh.
And inside the mug is iced tea.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a little smaller head, and it's like 7 or 8 ice cubes inside the iced tea.
Very nice. Very nice.
I loved it.
That is just a TV series.
Ice cubes in the iced tea?
No, that's not a league, that basketball thing.
Oh, it's
yeah,
a
there's
TV
like a,
series?
Just a 3-on-3
yeah,
tournament.
There's also a thing on TNT. They have like a slam dunk contest that I don't know who. I can't remember the name of the host, but it's like Kenny Smith and Shaq and John Barry and.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bill Walton. They have like all these celebrity ex-basketball players. Dr. J. They host it, but it's like a season. It's like this episode, he only got 90 points.
Vanilla Ice versus Magic Johnson. Yeah.
Why don't we come up with something called Fight Club? And it's like
old
guys.
Boxers?
It's old boxers and old UFC guys and old athletes. And on Saturday afternoon,
like Roberto Duran versus Hoyce Gracie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would be, yeah.
Like Bobby Bonilla is gonna box.
They did that.
Why are you talking about Bobby Bonilla? Oh, because he's getting paid again. This
Screech fought someone.
Screech fought Danny Bonaducci. That doesn't count.
Well, they had that. I mean, that was the
and
idea.
Bonaducci whooped him, walloped him hard.
I'd like to see Tyson.
Bonaducci
fight
was a good boxer.
Who did Canseco fight? Didn't he fight somebody in one of those ridiculous?
McGuire. It is bash. They can only use their elbows.
Excuse me, you guys have the Canseco fight tonight?
He you did fight somebody. Fight?
I'm going to start making reservations under the name Canseco.
John Canseco.
Canseco family of five. Party of five.
Right. Walk in with an Oakland A's t-shirt on.
Hi, I always Canseco go to really crowded here? Places so let's be like, Canseco! Canseco, party at three! I'm like, right here, guy.
Lou Malnati, somewhere like that.
I'll just put on my pinky. I'll have a diamond pinky ring on.
A disgruntled, like, old Italian Chicago manager just, like, waddling around. He goes, party of six, Canseco! That's me. Come on, Canseco. And we've been waiting like for you.
Four of the most Irish-looking people on the planet.
He doesn't care. Which one of you is Canseco?
It's me.
Okay, Canseco.
Where's my chair?
But, yeah, I would love to see guys, like, just random, like, just put former pro athletes.
I would actually like to see Tyson fight. What is he, 50 years old?
Well, remember, like, Mark Gastineau played for the Jets? He tried to get into boxing. He got smoked.
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. I like that kind of stuff.
Maybe I'll get into
boxing. I want to fight you. That's the name of the show. on the next episode of I Want to Fight You.
That's great.
There could be a thing in there.
I'm going to wait till I'm 50, then I'm going to start fighting.
Presented by Trump Enterprises.
Yeah.
How about that with the CNN logo? Did you see that?
Yeah, it's hilarious. Okay. It's hilarious that he was on the WWF to begin with.
It's amazing, right?
Amazing. Okay. It's entertainment. It's entertainment.
Last summer, I guess, or I don't know when this fight, but this was a report on June 16th in 2016. Canseco was going to fight Michael Lohan.
Jose Canseco was going to fight Lindsay Lohan's father?
Yes, he was going to fight Mr. Lohan.
Where?
I don't know. I mean, TMZ
in
said
a parking Wednesday. Lot of a Hardee's.
A battle of the Hollywood bad boys. That's what TMZ was saying.
Jose Canseco is a Hollywood bad boy?
Apparently. He dated Madonna.
Yeah, they were going to fight in Los Angeles.
Don't matter. You're a bad boy for life right there.
Why?
Oh, man.
Why? This country is falling apart.
Hey, Jose, we need you to fight Michael Lohan. Is that okay with you? Sure. You know.
We'll pay you $8,000. I'll do it.
Who can we get to fight Lohan? Who can we get? Who can we get? Oh, Jose Canseco. That's a great idea.
Is that Jose Canseco over there? Go ask him. Excuse me. Don't mean to interrupt your Big Mac, sir, but you want to fight Lindsay Lohan's father?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I think he fought Bonaducci, too.
What was the promotion behind the fact that Jose Canseco was going to box Lindsay Lohan's father?
It doesn't say. It just says that the promotion was that they wanted to get two Hollywood bad guys against each other. So there you go. Michael Lohan fought Jose Canseco. I don't know if the fight ever happened.
Better people.
I didn't know that Lindsay Lohan's dad was a Hollywood bad guy.
Apparently so, yes. Yeah, something like that.
He's like surly, drunk jerk.
Yeah, you know how many fathers of child stars were surly drunk jerks?
Hey, Mr. Lohan, I'll fight you. What's your name? Mike?
For 10 G's? Bring it on.
Yeah, I'll do it for free, tough guy.
Yeah.
I'll fight you for free.
I will. I'll do it tomorrow. I won't train or nothing. Guess what? I'm always training.
He did. Canseco had a draw with Danny Bonaducci.
Really?
Yeah, and celebrity
I told you,
fighting.
Canseco fought Bonaducci?
Yeah. Yeah.
I missed that?
It's a shame, isn't it?
What was that?
Where? Madison Square Garden?
This was years ago.
See, we're essentially talking about Celebrity Deathmatch, which was a TV show that was on, what was it?
That was MTV. Canseco got $35,000. So, and Bonaducci received $2 per every pay-per-view customer.
Oh, much better deal.
I don't know. I mean, do you really think 35,000, you know, you think 100,000 people wanted to watch Canseco and Bonaducci fight?
No.
No. Maybe 10.
10,000?
I don't know. If you got 10,000, you got 20 G's. Canseco took the smart play, took the 35K. I was like,
you know what fight I want to see? Mr. Lohan versus Lindsay Lohan.
I'll tell
that's
Mr.
happened.
How about Mr. Lohan versus Rob Kardashian?
It happened in a hotel room somewhere.
Yeah.
Rob Kardashian.
Rob Kardashian versus Mr. Lohan? That's a good one.
Rob Kardashian versus a refrigerator.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, refrigerator William Perry?
He fought someone, too.
I think he did. I think you're right.
Why don't we have Kris Jenner versus Mr.
Lohan?
Come on,
I can't believe we talk about it. We're not talking about these people.
Right. Okay. What else is going on? Camp. We were talking at the beginning of the show. It's camp.
It's camp season.
You were talking about mesh shorts.
Yeah.
Kind of got off the topic there. But
I was talking about the fact that part of my uniform with the mesh shorts was T-shirts.
Marlboro T-shirts. Yeah, Camel T-shirts. Yeah. Winston.
I called that out to my wife. I said, you know, look at these. Lee Charlotte's not wearing any, you know, same gold T-shirts up to camp.
Somebody's kid is.
Yeah.
That kid's the most popular kid at camp. right?
Dude, no one's talking. Yeah, no one's messing with him.
Until like the third week, and everyone's like, he's awesome.
Yeah. He's got a tail.
Yeah. He's got a tail?
He's got a tail, a Winston shirt on. He's like, well, Eric. Yeah.
Eric, the kid that smokes heaters at camp.
Out in the woods.
And only in Hollywood summer home camps.
Yeah. Summer home camp.
He lives up in a summer home camp. We don't know where he is.
I saw
only
someone
in Hollywood, what?
I know on the internet social land was at a Wisconsin supper club. Have you ever been to one of those?
Yes.
Many times.
We're outstanding. You have?
Where at? Up, way up?
There's actually one outside of Lake Geneva. Okay. I want to say it's in like Whitefish. No, it's not. What do they call that area?
Did you have a steak?
Yeah, it's a place called Greenies.
Nice.
And their prime rib is amazing. I mean, you get like a prime rib cut that like you would get.
It's like a golden steer experience.
Exactly.
I might argue.
So I'll just go there instead.
I might argue that my
golden
experience
steer
there
Forest
was,
Park. Check that out.
Yeah.
I don't know. And here's the thing. It's cheap.
Right.
For like a king size, like a big cut, like a king size cut on the prime rib was like $19. In Chicago, you'd pay $35.
Right.
And it might not even be nearly as good. This guy cooks it on a grill out in the back.
I like it.
It's outstanding.
I'm into it.
Yeah, Greenies up in Wisconsin, right outside of Lake
Geneva. I can listen to Rush and drive up there and just pound steaks.
Sure you can. Rush is very good for pounding steaks, too.
It's very good in Wisconsin.
Exit the warrior today's time.
God, we keep talking about them.
I know. I'm in a rush, you know? That's why. Yeah.
That's all right.
Richard Lewis. Rush was great.
The Rush show was amazing.
So I want to ask. You went to.
I think the Loop plays at 80,000 times a day.
A public fireworks display.
I did not go. My wife went.
Oh, you did not go.
Yeah.
You sat it out.
Oh.
I sat it out.
Oh, yeah, you went and watched the fight.
My wife took Charlotte to go see the fireworks.
Oh, was it her and Char?
And my mother-in-law, Patty.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I took Mikey home. He was too small for that. I was like, it was late. It was like 9:30. I was like, this guy's got to go to bed.
Okay.
Plus, I had work the next day.
Gotcha.
I was
gotcha.
Like, I can't do it.
I don't know what the people watching was like.
Bill, I'm telling you, on the way up to the show tonight, driving through Jefferson Park, the clouds were still settling. The dust.
Oh, tonight's leftover night up here.
I'm still hearing it.
It's leftover night.
I go, whoa, pow, pow.
We were watching a full fireworks show outside, me and Bill.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. In Chicago, you hear fireworks, you better kind of brace yourself. That might not be what you think it is.
We had a very violent weekend.
They sound, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I hear a loud firecracker. I'm like, oh, I'm ducking.
Give me the numbers.
I think it was over 100 people shot.
14 killed, I believe.
Yeah, something like that, which is absolutely absurd again.
Is that what the mayor does on Monday morning? Give me the numbers.
I would hope so. I'm sure he has the numbers way before that.
There should be no numbers.
I mean.
There should be none.
No, you're right.
You're thinking about that, but you're also thinking about like, okay, so, you know, some of these gangbangers aren't that stupid. So they're probably like, oh, people are going to light firecrackers off? This is a perfect opportunity for us to just go and fire
guns. You would think so, right?
Like, they're not going to know. Police won't know
There's
the difference.
There's no way you can differentiate between.
Yeah, so that's probably why they were just, idiots. I don't know. It's a disgusting statistic.
You know what
statistic.
I hear it is? A lot of it is, like, all these grudges that go on all winter.
Yeah.
And then.
They wait.
Yeah,
absolutely, because no one leaves the house in the winter. Right, exactly. Sure. They'll camp up in those boarded homes and stuff, you know, where they can just deal and build their enemies for the summer when it's time to shoot.
Correct.
You know, it's ridiculous.
It's getting completely out of control. It's a war zone.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Enough on that topic. I think it depresses everyone that lives in the city
of
Chicago.
Well, they're also sending some federal help in at the same time.
So that helps, but, you know.
That's a very small dent.
In the end, it comes down to the access that these guys are just getting. Any Joe Schmo can get their hand on a gun.
Right.
That's ultimately what the problem is. It's, you know, I understand. I'm all for people to have the, you know, the right to bear arms and stuff like that, but
these people are intentionally out there.
Yeah, it's there needs to be way more regulations on how people are getting firearms in their hands.
Correct.
And that's all I have to say.
Or the penalties for having a firearm without a license.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can't get a budget together.
We can't get a budget.
About firearms? What about this? We can't have Mega Millions or Powerball.
No,
on the state
I'm
right
a bit
now.
Upset about that.
A
yeah.
budget. That's right.
Yeah.
That's enough to cause some people to get a little annoyed, right?
We should all run for office.
Really?
Yeah.
What it boils down to is, you know, everyone's yelling about budget cuts and the fact that we're getting tax hikes now. You know what? Term limits. The people of Illinois, if they want to speak and they want to, you know, forget the partisanship or anything like that, because I think this is a nonpartisan issue. I think that people need to recognize that.
You need immediate cash, though, now.
We need to legalize weed.
Correct.
Yeah, that's going to have to happen.
Do that, cash flow starts immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see what happens. I don't know. Hopefully they can get their stuff together down there. I haven't
done
it in a while.
Don't raise my property taxes. Don't take my income taxes. Hike those.
Yeah.
Come on. Stop it.
Do you feel like you're in the full effect of summer now? Are you in the full summer mode now that the 4th of July has passed?
Yeah, it's kind of smooth sailing now.
I got a do a couple more things. I got to go to a baseball game. Mm-hmm. I got to go to a Sox game.
I'm doing that next Friday.
Yeah, I
got
to go to a Sox game, too.
Let's go.
I'm in.
Why don't we do a... Yeah, we'll do that. Me, you, and Mikey, and Brendo.
I could do that. Go to a game for a little bit. I'll get into that for sure.
Let's do it.
Bill, I'm going Friday.
You're going Friday?
Yeah. Not this Friday, but the following one. Yeah.
Avisail Garcia is an all-star.
Yeah, but I'm going after that, so I'll be interested to see. A pretty now, mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see what kind of trades the Sox make, if they make any at all. I know they're going to.
Who do you think they're going to their deal?
I think David Robertson is going to be traded.
That's fine. I think Frazier's gone.
Frazier is definitely on the block, no question about that. I think that Melky Cabrera is probably going to get traded. He's been playing incredible lately.
How the Cubs been lately?
They're under 500. As of yesterday, yeah, they lost. I'm still not, that whole NL Central, I mean, Milwaukee's been playing out of their minds, but other than them, the Cubs are what? They're like four out, maybe?
Yeah, they're fine.
I'm not worried about that.
They can surge.
They're going to get hot eventually, I would think. There's too much talent on that club. Obviously, we just saw that they got rid of Miguel Montero, who I think had been a bit of a poison in the clubhouse, from what I heard. You know, he went off on...
They
shipped him out of town pretty quick.
Yeah, they sure did.
Well, I think it was last week a team had stolen seven bases on him, and his complaint was that he badmouthed Arrieta publicly.
Yeah, I saw it.
To the media, saying that Arrieta was too slow with his delivery. And
you're very itchy tonight. The chair's going.
I got lit up.
You got poison ivy?
I got lit up by
mosquitoes.
Yeah, I remember. Last night I was like smacking them everywhere, and my buddy Herb Jones, who's a big, huge
I know
black
Big
guy,
Herb. Yep.
And he was at the party with me. He goes, "Relax. They like the dark meat tonight too." And I went, "Oh, okay." Because it was just like with both of us, we're like, "What the heck." We should have put on. We figured the smoke from the firework display would keep them away. No way. Yeah. They were out in full force last night. It's been humid.
That's why I'm
itching around. You know.
Yeah. Right.
But what was I telling you guys about? Oh, Montero. Yeah, he got shipped out of town. That was quick. Apparently, him and Joe Maddon didn't really like each other. He was unhappy with the fact that I think Wilson Contreras had kind of taken over his starting position. Obviously, the youth movement was in full effect on the north side, and. I mean, Montero didn't really fit into the plans other than the fact that he was a left-handed switch hitter. You know, he was a switch hitter off the bench. And I felt like, you know, Maddon had to do the right thing, get rid of him. You're not going to badmouth our number two pitcher, and we're not going to have a rift in this clubhouse when we're playing sub-500 baseball, and we need to get on a streak. I don't need to have this guy yelling because it's an issue that had been stemming from last year. He was upset about his playoff time, you know, play. So, adios, Miguel Montero.
Thank you, Peter Gammons, with Baseball Talk, Baseball Tonight.
You guys asked.
I want to take a quick break. I'm going to play this here, though. Here's something, a little summer tune before we go into our next commercial break. Hooli's Hooli will be back after this message.
Are you ready for the summer? Oh,
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend who's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember, their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Welcome back, Hooli's Hooli. Get yourself some McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Do it.
Coming into the last third part of the show tonight. I see here we've been talking a little bit about meatballs, old summer camp.
Yeah, sure.
We talked a little bit of Clay last week. Remember I said I was speaking about Betsy Shepherd, the publicist?
Yep.
I sent her the clip of us talking. Buddy? Yeah, my Facebook pal.
Yeah.
No response.
Nothing.
Oh, now you're full. She's restraining order. Bound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It could be, you know.
You're full Cape Fear now.
I'm full Rupert Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Call me the king. Yeah. But anyway, one of the things that I did, I discovered this today, is that she's like the publicist for like Joel Murray and the Murray Brothers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They're opening a Caddyshack restaurant. Did you see this? In Rosemont?
Really? I think I've heard about this, yes.
What
do you get, a golf ball with your food?
You can get a lot of stuff like that. I've never been to one.
It originated in a what? A kooky waiter?
Oh, I thought you said a cookie waiter.
No, kooky.
I got a waiter. I've got lots of different cookies here.
So, what, like, like the waiters, do they have to go by like Noonan or Carl?
Benunzio.
Yeah. They have different names.
I don't know. Al Sir. What's Al Sir? Is that his name? Cervic?
Al Cervic is Rodney Dangerfield, yes. Judge Smalls.
Smales. Yeah.
Okay.
Ty Webb.
Carl's, obviously, Bill Murray.
Yeah. Anyway.
Lacey Underalls.
I presume that some of that stuff might be on the menu, right? Like
Maggie.
Dishes named after
the Irish chick, though, Maggie. Yeah. We never know her last name, though, do we?
They got to have Fresca on the menu, I would think, right? Can I get a Fresca at the at Caddyshack? It's a Coca-Cola product now. But it says here, brace for Bill Murray's Restaurant and Bar, Chicagoland. The actor, comedian, and his brothers have signed on to officially open a Murray Brothers Caddyshack in their native Chicago area at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Rosemont.
Nice.
They're slating its debut for sometime in December after an initial report last. So Last year was the one the word first came out, and it looks like it's going to open around Christmas time.
Very nice.
The restaurant and bar named after the Murray's iconic golf movie Caddyshack debuted its initial location in St. Augustine, Florida in 2001. It serves an array of bar foods such as crispy potato golf balls, flatbread, salads, sandwiches, mains, desserts, and drinks from a golf-themed menu.
There you go.
There are a few Chicago nods on the menu in Florida, including a Chicago-style hot dog and a beef, Italian beef.
Yeah, you gotta have the beef.
It's gonna be very large. It's gonna be 8,600 square feet with 265 seats.
Wow.
You know, here's the thing though. You already have places like Top Golf. They're like golf-themed restaurants where people can actually hit golf balls.
Well, the Murray brothers are creating quite a brand. Have you seen William Murray Golf now that the Chive is behind?
Yes.
It's taken off like a bottle rocket. It's like a really legit, well-respected golf brand now for kooky kind of party fun golf shirts and pants and shorts and pants and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll be selling that merch inside Caddyshack, right?
Probably,
right.
Yeah.
I think that it has potential, you know, very big upside. I think a lot of people will go there. I bet you Bill Murray does all of his appearances out of that place moving forward, maybe, right? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's that close-minded about that kind of stuff. I think he's just kind of a happy-go-lucky where he feels happy.
I'm just going to wait for Gene Hackman to open the Hoosiers restaurant.
Wouldn't that be something?
Great.
Yeah, we get Chelsea Ross to cut the ribbon,
Cut your ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a big gym. It's just a big gym.
For radio listeners, I have an obsession with Chelsea Ross. He's a Chicago.
Look him up. You'll know who he is.
Chelsea Ross. He plays Dan Devine and Rudy. He's the mean coach in Hoosiers. He plays Nico Toscani, CIA.
We've talked about this so many times before.
In Above the Law. Nico!
only reason you brought him up tonight is because you wanted to scream Nico.
I did want to scream.
That's only reason. Clay bring up Hoosiers, and he's like, I got to do it, Chelsea Ross.
I got to scream Nico!
Yeah.
But yeah, Hoosiers-themed restaurant could definitely be a thing, right? Kind of.
Yeah, your soup served in like a half basketball.
You know, it was. So, hey, it was after 4th of July.
Right.
But
try yourself an underhanded free throw. That's like a crazy taco we have on the menu here.
Yeah.
The bartender's dressed like Shooter.
The bartenders are all dressed like Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Hey, you know, now that we're getting away from 4th of July, there was a lot of live music going on all over the city and state. Did you get an opportunity to see any live music over the weekend? Anybody?
I did not.
Like, no 4th of July, like, kind of Americana shows?
No.
No, I didn't.
That's a lie. I did see music because me and my wife went to Wisconsin, like I said, and we were going to go check out this, like, water skiing show or whatever.
Yeah.
So we get there, and it's supposed to start at 6, but it's been delayed an hour and a half.
Okay.
We don't know this. So there's a little carnival going on, like, behind this thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me go get a corn dog. Do some I kind of have
this feeling now around 4th of July where, you know, rather than like going and listening to like some big rock band or some new pop, you know, something real poppy.
Sure.
I like the Americana kind of feel.
What do you like? You know, what
like
does that
guy,
mean?
Maybe a guy
what
playing like a, just like kind of a folk.
Like a mandolin banjo combo?
Yeah, kind of like, you know, like you would hear them playing at like the Grand Ole Opry or something. Like, it's the 4th of July, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, that gets me excited.
I need that 4th of July music.
It's the 4th of July. It's the 4th of July.
What I was gonna,
don't take that 4th of July music from me now.
What I was going to bring up, and I kind of want to play a song of his.
Who is it?
Go down to Arkansas.
You love,
like that,
you love him. You love him. He was one of the headliners this past weekend at our old home. Fitzgerald's Nightclub.
Yeah,
does
for the American Music Festival.
The American Music Folk Festival.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Outstanding. Dave Elvin.
Mm-hmm. From the Blasters.
Was one of the headliners. And
as he has been for many years.
It's like
now.
If you were going to go to Fitzgerald's on the 4th of July and you want to see some awesome music, there's Dave Elvin always. I mean, there's great acts, but this guy brings it every year. And I was kind of saddened. I saw a friend post a picture of him. Of Elvin and in like his group outside Fitzgerald's having a smoke, and I was like, "Oh man, Dave Elvin, I should have gone up there just to check it out."
Mm-hmm.
You dropped the ball, Bill.
But he's very Americana. And that would have given me that kind of 4th of July feel. I'm looking,
likes
looking for.
It a little knee slapping on the 4th of July.
But I'll play.
Robbie Fulks was up there too, which is he's pretty awesome. Yeah.
I will play on one of his songs maybe to close the show out, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I'm into that. Uh-huh. I do want to make you, speaking of music, last week I told the story about Bad Finger, the group.
Right, yeah.
And I called him Pete Hay at the top. It's Pete Ham. Was the lead singer of Bad Finger.
Okay, sure.
A little correction from last week. Good. So, you know, I try
he's
to go
no
back.
Longer with us.
No, he is not.
So he appreciates that.
Pete, this is for you, pal. Right. So, yeah, correct. So I like to make a little, you know, go through the program, make a couple of corrections from last week.
Absolutely.
That was about I'm sure there's more, but that was the first one that came to mind, you mm-hmm. know. Bill, we spoke of something a few episodes back. I found this recently.
Okay.
Because I said, Nico!
Yeah.
A few minutes ago, which is from Above the Law.
Uh-huh.
Listen to this. Hold on. I found this.
Yeah.
Remember? Here we go. Hold on. It's
gotta play. I don't know where you're going.
It's
going
to play. Here we go. I got it.
Oh, yeah, you got it?
Gentlemen, this is
Bill Withers.
Whenever you have a group of individuals who are beyond any investigation, who can manipulate the press, judges, members of our Congress, you're always going to have within our government those who are above the law.
You love that.
Andy Davis.
That's the end of Above the Law?
Yeah.
You just wanted to play that as an excuse. You're like, how do I find a way to play this?
I want to meet that saxophone player.
So do I. Clay, that was from voice memo on my iPhone. I actually went into On Demand on HBO and queued it up and recorded that part for myself so that I could have it on hand.
Oh, was it like on YouTube or anywhere?
I can't find it anywhere on YouTube.
So now you just want to have it on the play at any moment. You can
jam!
You could go right into that. Yeah.
Because I love, he gets very Brechtian. All of a sudden, we're watching the end of the show, and Nico's talking to the audience, you know? Don't be above the law. You got people that are above the law.
I can see
here.
Trump giving that same speech. He'd be like, I only know this little obscure speech from Above the Law. No one will catch on.
He's giving this to
people. That'd be amazing.
This week.
He's telling his speechwriter, just use it. It's fine. No one's going to know.
Spicer, cue up the Toscani speech for me.
I think Spicer's out.
It could be.
Doing something
else. I'm paying attention to anything.
Working
of that
at
stuff.
Wendy's now.
Isn't that terrible?
It is, Clay, you bring up a great point. Trump just delivers that with a little bit of a different cadence. Gentlemen.
Totally.
Whenever you have a bunch of people.
Uh-huh.
He could do it.
Sure, yeah. He could.
He could pull it off.
So, Wisconsin this week.
Do you think Bill Clinton has ever seen the film Above the Law?
Oh, yeah.
I love that flick.
I love this Nico.
It's like, Hillary, give me a Big Mac. I'm watching Nico.
Give me.
This Nico's tough.
I forgot about how great Phil Hartman's Bill Clinton was.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about the SNL episode where Hartman is just in a jogging suit
mm-hmm.
and he stops at McDonald's and just pounds three Big Macs
cheeseburger
down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's it's one of my
Phil
favorite
Hartman,
skits.
Phil Hartman, it's one of the funniest human beings to ever live.
I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if Clinton's ever seen Above the Law or Hoosiers for that matter, right?
I'm sure he has. Sure he
Let's
has.
Let's find out.
Dear
President Clinton,
send him a letter every day.
Have you ever seen the film Hoosiers? Would you be interested in discussing Ollie's free throw form with me?
If you send him a letter every day for a year, you'd get a response.
I presume I would. Hey, Pat, I have seen Hoosiers. It's a hoot.
That period. Final Bill game, Clinton. Let me tell you what.
Right.
That Jimmy hits that shot, I cry.
That Jimmy Chipwood is real good.
The form on him.
Excuse me.
I'll make it.
Or you'd be like, excuse me.
That's what it says. That's what Clinton says. This is a signature. I'll make it. Bill Clinton.
That's all the letters say.
Excuse me, former President Clinton. Can you watch Above the Law and then somehow relate to, you know, the philosophies from that film to Mayor Emanuel and have him influence that on our current police department, please? What do you think he'd say to that?
Sure, why not, you know?
Robert Emanuel's definitely never seen.
The funny
seen.
Thing is that, that because Trump and the Clintons were friends before they were enemies, you know?
Emanuel's never seen Above
the
Law.
Trump had Clinton over, and he was like, you got to see this Toscani guy. And they watched it together.
Emanuel's never seen
it. Actually,
cool
I've watched it with Trump. That's what Clinton said.
Yeah, man, we had a few laughs years back. Me and Donald watched it together in New York.
What do you think Rahm's favorite movie is?
Rahm's favorite movie? The Company by Robert Altman. It's a story of a ballet dancer.
Yeah, no, it's
he loves it. It's a Nev Campbell vehicle from the late 90s. Shot really? In Chicago.
Is it really?
I yes. can see him being.
I didn't know this kind of stuff.
Because I wanted to be a PA on it at one time. I was trying to get movie work.
Okay.
He looks like a beaches guy.
I didn't get the ballet movie, Ma. Huh. Altman's making a ballet movie. Anyway.
Well, we're winding down towards the end of this show here.
I wanted to get the ballet movie too. You know, it wasn't good for me.
Patty sent me the Boku. Patty sent me.
I got
me the
a Boku commercial instead.
He sent me the actual Boku commercial.
Oh, I saw it. But amazing. There's like 20 of them though on YouTube.
Oh well, there was a
like,
big
I
hit.
Saw that one, and then I was like, "There's got to be more."
Oh yeah.
And then I watched them all. But
people, watch some Boku commercials on YouTube.
You'll know what we're talking
Richard
about.
Richard Lewis, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving up to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you did an 8-hour drive?
Why are you going so far?
5 years.
Whoo, boy.
I'm driving my daughter to camp.
It's now, that far?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a trek.
Are you stopping at all?
I'm staying the night when I get there.
Why don't you stop like Milwaukee and have a big burger?
I could do that, you know.
Show her the campus.
Yeah.
Marquette.
The Marquette University campus.
Yeah. You went to school there, remember?
Well, we could get into that. I don't know if I have time for that, to tell you the truth.
Make time.
Yeah. Hey, would you like to see the university that I was asked to leave after 2 years? Lovely little. I think I still owe them $3,000.
Drop off a check.
Yeah, I would love that.
Drop off a check for like $6.
Here you go. Put that towards the fund.
Yeah.
I'm working on it. I need a federal bailout.
I should go there.
Bill, what are you looking for?
Sorry. I'm looking for.
sorry, yeah, where?
Bill. The fumbling DJ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
Bill, the fumbling, starring Bill, the fumbling DJ.
Yeah, I'm looking for the Dave Elvin song that I was going to close us out with.
Find the song first and then get involved, you know?
Well, I couldn't, I had to hear a couple bars of it
first
to make
sure. No, I forgot that it wasn't. I'm not usually the guy lining up
the
music.
You got 10 seconds or I'm playing Skid Row. All
right, let's. What do we got going on? We got a plug next week. We're going into this. I'm gonna play Dave Elvin's "The 4th of July," but next week, you know, this show is sponsored by Herbertians. Everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. You're the
you
one that was
crazy.
Okay, close out the show then. Do your thing.
Bill's lost it on his Georgie.
It's fine, boy, man. Yeah, he has. He's got fevery sweats. Something just. He's got fever dreams.
Just
something.
Go.
All right, gentlemen. I want to thank you for listening to the last hour of this program of silliness and nothings. If you are a fan of the program, you can find past episodes of the Hoolies Hooli at FreeCrack, CRAIC.com.
Yep.
You can find it on iTunes under Free Crack, CRAIC as well.
Helps with road rage.
That's right. The show is sponsored and presented by, well, it's sponsored by McCann's Irish Show.
Yes.
But it is produced by Hibernian Transmedia.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around for the crack with Gino Cooney and Mike Houlihan following this program. They record that show at the Irish American Heritage Center every Thursday night at 6 p.m. in front of a live audience. And then stick around in the Fifth Province Pub afterwards for the traditional Irish music sessions. Bill.
Yes.
You want to play a Dave Elvin song?
Yeah, so for all of you, though, folks out there that missed a little Americana 4th of July type of music, Dave Elvin, he was at Fitzgerald's. Here's one of his tunes, 4th of July. See you next week.
She's waiting for me when I get home from work. Oh, but things just ain't the same. She turns out the lights and she cries in the dark. Won't answer when I call her name. On the stairs I smoke a cigarette alone. Mexican kids are shooting fireworks below. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. It's the 4th of July. But I want her lips, and don't have the strength to go. On the lost side of town, in a dark apartment, we gave up trying so long ago. And on the stairs I smoke a cigarette alone. Mexican kids are shooting fireworks below. And hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. It's the 4th of July.